Amen. Thank you, Pastor Sam. I'll tell you, it's been just a blessing. Yeah, it's great to reflect on that and think about all the times in the Lord. You know, when you share some experiences in the Holy Spirit, when you have an encounter with God, it really knits your heart together in an extraordinary way. And so we've had some just wonderful times in the Lord. I would say some powerful revival times. And so thank you, Pastor Sam. It's been a joy to go each step of the way and to see what God is doing. When you do share encounters, I was thinking about that. We were able to minister in Kazakhstan with your team, and what a blessing that was to be connected. So I want to thank your staff. Thank you, Pastor Ken, for getting all my notes together and doing all those things. I just appreciate it. Everyone has been so gracious to me. I don't know if we have that picture of my family, but I do want to thank the Lord for my wife and for my precious, precious children. I could not do what I do in the ministry without my wife. And so we are a team. We do it together. And so we're just very, very grateful. We were here as a family in, I guess it was 2010, right around there. And we went to Korea and then came here to Hong Kong and got to see where my wife was born, took my children there, and so it was just very, very special. So my kids just have precious, precious memories of your church and what God is doing here, and so just thank you. Thank you so much. So I just honor Pastor Sam and Pastor Lisa, and as he said, our wives are close, and that just makes me happy that when I see my wife really connecting with Lisa, it is a blessing. Amen? Do you love the Lord today? Hallelujah. Just say that. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. So I think last night and Friday night, the presence of the Lord was really sweet, just very strong, very precious. And so we thank God. The sermons I'm bringing you, I just pray that they will simply confirm what is in Pastor Sam's heart. I pray that as he builds his theme for the year, building the house, that the few things that I'm bringing are just confirmations, just things that would come from a different side of the diamond. And so that's my prayer for you. Amen? Let's stand to our feet if you're able to, if you wouldn't mind, just for a moment in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for the precious worship through Pastor Nate and his team, Lord. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I am just so dependent on you today. I thank you for your grace. Your grace is enough. And Lord, I just come to you today confident, Lord, in the anointing, confident in your precious Holy Spirit, confident in the power of the preached word today. And so, Lord, we ask that you would just pierce our hearts. I ask that every word would just be dripping with the hot oil of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask today that we wouldn't just get a word that would touch our minds, but it would be a word that would touch our spirits. That we'd come out of this place more motivated, more equipped, and full of your power and full of your grace to do what you have called us to do. We give you the glory and we give you the praise and we give the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated today. Praise the Lord. The title of the message this morning is A House That's Blessed. Would you please say that out loud? Say, a house that's blessed. Say it again. Say, a house that's blessed. Now, let's say it as a prayer today. Say, Lord, I want my house to be blessed. Say that. I want my house. And that really ought to be your prayer for your home, but also for this house. And so every message I brought to you, I pray that you'll see it at a couple of different levels. You'll see it at an individual level. You'll see it as something happening in your nuclear family. But you will also see it in a corporate sense. So let's say it again one more time. A house that is blessed. Say it, a house that is blessed. As Pastor said, I grew up in the DR Congo, right smack in the middle of Africa, and I was ministering there a few years ago and praying for people. The only way I can describe it as I prayed for people in this church was really a sea of humanity. Just people pressing to the front, just hundreds of people. And so in a situation like that, I don't always have time to ask people what's on their heart or what they need prayer. You just have to trust the Spirit of God, that He knows exactly what's happening in every person's life and in every person's heart. And so as I was laying hands and weeping and praying for people really in desperate needs, I had no idea until the next day that a precious sister there by the name of Martha had lost her hearing completely. And you can imagine, draw that up on your video screen, draw that up into your imagination, that if you could hear for many years, but then you lost your hearing, or what if you could see for many years, but then you lost your sight? And so really her dream and her life had become her nightmare. Can you imagine? And so I had no idea. And that really represents many of our lives, because oftentimes we have great dreams. We've talked about this the last couple of nights, that we'll have a dream, but the dreams don't always turn out the way we want them to turn out. Sometimes our dreams become nightmares. And so this precious sister, Martha, had lost her hearing. But here's the powerful and beautiful thing of the Lord. She woke up the next morning and her ears popped open. God had healed her completely, so that now her nightmare became her dream again. And this is really a picture of coming out of captivity. If you could think of it this way, that many times we are under the oppression of the enemy, or we're feeling captive, or we're feeling like there is a nightmare that we're living, that we come out of that captivity. And that is my heart, and that is my prayer, that we would really burst into that place of freedom that God has for each one of us. Can you say amen? Please say it out loud again. Say, a house that's blessed, a house that's blessed. Now, by way of introduction, I want to read this passage for you in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And this is really going to give us a wonderful picture as we get into the message today. And then we'll bring it full circle by the end of the sermon. So in 2 Kings chapter 4, an extraordinary event takes place here. Verse 1, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" And so if you can imagine this, she's lost everything. She's lost her husband. And now, because of the crushing and oppressive debt, there are some people knocking at her door to take her boys as slaves. And then Elisha, the man of God, asked her, "What do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Would you please say this out loud? Say, "Except a little oil." Say that. Say this again. Say, "A little oil, a little oil." Nothing in the house but a little oil. Put that in the backdrop of your thinking, because it's going to change your life. And so Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Get a hold of that," because she needed some help. And I'm here to submit to you today that you can't not do everything on your own. You're going to need some help. You're going to need the body of Christ. You're going to need a church family. She needed some neighbors. She didn't have anything, just a little oil. But she went and got some help from some of her neighbors. "And then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. And as each is filled, put it to one side." And she left him, and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. And they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." And then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God and said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Someone say, "A little oil." Say it, "A little oil." Now say this, "A house that is blessed." Say that, "A house that's blessed." So I want you to draw this up on your video screen if you can really imagine that your house. We've been talking about a house that will last. We've been talking about a house in order. Now we're talking about a house that is blessed. And oftentimes when we preach messages like that, we might feel a bit intimidated. We might feel like we don't have that much in our house. Or maybe we're a first generation believer. Or maybe there's a lot of things that have happened in our homes. A lot of painful situation. A lot of things happen behind closed doors. And we may not feel like we have that much to offer. But I'm here to declare to you today, by the authority of the Word of God, that all you need right now to get things started is just a little bit of oil. Can you say amen? So go with me to the New Testament. I want you to see Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. And I know that you have this memorized. If you don't, you're going to like it so much, you're going to go home and you're going to memorize this verse. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. I'm reading from the NIV. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Now, the NASB actually gets this a little better, gets it more accurately. By the way, there are no perfect translations, but the NASB gets it better. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed. Say oppressed. Went around healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Now, I want to back into this verse, and I actually want to preach it to you backwards. I want to start at the end of the verse, because God says here that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He went around healing all who were oppressed. Now, what does the word oppress mean? The word oppress is the Greek word katadunisteo, and it literally means to be under the power of the devil, but you could say this, it means to be smothered. It means to be pushed down. An accurate rendition of the word would be this picture of being in prison, of being in captivity. It's being limited. Now, remember that even a believer can feel that oppression. You got to understand that even a believer can feel smothered. Have you ever been in a situation where you feel smothered, you feel pushed down, you feel oppressed spiritually, and you feel like you're in captivity? Many times we can feel free in one area, but feel like we're in a prison in another area. You might feel really blessed in your family, but feel the crushing weight of financial pressure. It might be the reverse for you. You might feel great freedom in your finances, but in your marriage, you feel the oppression, or you feel the weight or the heaviness of things that are happening in the family dynamic. All of us can feel oppressed. The picture here is being under the power of the devil, feeling crushed, feeling smothered. If I could give you a picture today, the word oppression means to feel like you're boxed into a small room where you're crowded all around and the ceiling is small. You feel the limitation. But I'm here to declare to you today that it's by the anointing of God, it's by just a little oil that's going to break that smothering feeling, break the walls of limitation, break the ceiling off of your life, so that you can burst into a place of freedom with the Holy Spirit and live and become all that God wants you to be. But you just need a little bit of oil. Someone say a house that's blessed. Say it, a house that's blessed. And so oppression, being under the power of the devil, smothered, in prison, in captivity, feeling limited, feeling like we're in a small room. Have you ever been in a season in your life where you feel like you're in a small room? But it's by the anointing and by the power of the Holy Spirit that God is going to break you out of that place of limitation, so that you don't have to be in that nightmare anymore. You can live the dream, a house that's blessed. Now, I want to mirror this with a scripture in the Old Testament. We're going to toggle back and forth from Acts 10:38. That's our text. But I want to illustrate Acts 10:38 with some psalms. And so we're going to read three different psalms as we mirror them to Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. And so I want you to see Psalm chapter 126, because Psalm 126 gives us a picture of coming out of captivity. Listen to the Bible today. Verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. So they've come out of a nightmare of slavery, of bondage. Can you imagine being a slave? And you might just say to yourself, I wonder what it would be like to be free. I wonder what it would be like to have a great marriage. I wonder what it would be like to have a godly home. I wonder what it would be like to come out of sickness and to come out of disease. I wonder what it'd be like to come out of that addiction, where you come out of captivity and into that place of freedom. We were like captives that came to Zion. We were like men who dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. And then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. What an incredible picture. What a beautiful picture of the Israelites coming out of captivity in Egypt, where they came out of slavery, they came out of bondage, they came to that place of freedom. And I'm here to declare to you today that really that's what God is going to begin to do in your homes and in your family. As you build the house this year, God is saying that your house will be blessed, that you will, in Jesus' name, come out of places of captivity where you feel boxed in and smothered in certain areas. God is going to lift that off of you. There is a little oil in your house, and God is going to release that oil to begin to bring you the freedom that you long for and you desire. In your family, in your physical health, in your spirituality, in your ministry, God is wanting to release that to you. A house that is blessed, coming out of captivity, tears that turn to laughter. In other words, you're broken, but you're healed. I want you to say that out loud. Say, I might have been broken. Say, I might have been, but God is healing me. And so I stand here before you today, certainly not as a perfect man, as a broken man, but a healed man. And what a difference that when you know the Lord has touched you and the Lord has healed you. A house that is blessed is someone that understands, number one, that we're broken, but we're healed. And so none of us are perfect today. Every one of us, even if you grew up in a Christian home, even if you have a strong home, every one of us have brokenness. Every one of us have patterns that aren't necessarily healthy. And every one of us need a healing touch from the Lord. None of us are perfect, but we can all say this, we can all come to healing. And so we're broken, but we're healed. And so when we're broken and healed, then God brings us out of captivity into that place of freedom. Not perfect, but healed. Can you say amen? And so you're building the house. And I was reflecting on this and meditating and praying on it. And when we started our church 11 years, we've started our 12th year. So we started in 2004. And right away from the very second Sunday, we had a precious young girl come into our church. And her name is Jamie. And Jamie was ministering on the campus of the University of South Florida. She had gotten her degree in pastoral ministries, and she was ministering with a ministry called Impact, very similar to Campus Crusade or Inner Varsity. And so she came to our church and had never really been to a charismatic church. And in fact, I remember praying for her the first time, and I had my hand on her head, and I saw visions of her ministering to children, and I was praying in tongues over her. And I said, does any of that make sense to you? And she just shook her head because she had never had anyone slap their hand on her head and speak in tongues. But yet then God began to do every single one of those things. But Jamie grew up in Las Vegas. In the States, we call that the city of sin. They actually brag about it. And so her mom actually grew up on the streets. And her mom was a heroin addict and was a prostitute. And so Jamie grew up in a situation where she was passed from home to home. But yet God covered her and protected her. Can you imagine the pain of growing up in a situation like that. But yet God protected her. At the precious age of 16, Jamie came to the Lord. And the Lord just covered her, protected her from a lot of pain. But you can imagine growing up in that kind of a situation, the kinds of insecurity that it would produce, the loneliness. And so even as she was called to the ministry, and she came to our church, she had to go through a lot of inner healing, had to go through a lot of deliverance just because of all of that painful background. And so God began to do miracles in Jamie's life. And as she grew in the Lord, one of her dreams was to simply have a family. That's all she wanted, the family that she never had. She just wanted to be married, just wanted to have children, just wanted to enjoy the blessing of that because she never had it. And as she got older, we just remember praying with her because she was so lonely, just struggling with that, wondering if she would ever meet her husband. And so she went through all of those emotions that a single person would have. Do I need to go to a church where there's a single group? What do I need to do? How do I meet? But I want you to know today, if you've been in a season of singleness, listen, I know it's not easy, but trust the Lord because he knows exactly what you're going through. And he's going to tap you on the shoulder one day when it's time and you'll meet the right person in the right situation. And so the Lord brought a young man into her life. His name is Phil. And to make a long story short, God connected them, and I had the privilege of doing their marriage ceremony. And so to see her where God healed her from growing up in such a painful situation, broken but healed, and now having a wonderful marriage. Now her dream was simply to start a family right away. And so they prayed about that. They said, we want to start a family. And so we got the phone call one day that they were expecting. And so they were excited. We rejoiced with them. And we were so happy for them. Well, she only made it to about 6 weeks. And then we got the phone call that she had miscarried. And so we just cried. We wept with them. And here were some of the thoughts that went through her mind. And I think every one of us can identify with it. Am I being punished for the sins of my mom? Am I not able to be blessed? Is everyone else going to be blessed but me? I think we all go through those feelings and those thoughts at different times. And so we just cried with her. We wept with her. We prayed with her. Let me give you some ministry insight. When somebody goes through that kind of a loss, don't think that you have to have a spiritual answer for them. So many Christians think they have to have an answer. I got news for you. Life isn't a formula. And you may not always have an answer for someone, but you can just sit with them. You can just cry with them. You may not have the reason or the answer. And so we just cried and wept. And we said, listen, Jamie, stay in faith. God wants to bless you. He brought you Phil. You got a great marriage. And he wants to bless you with a family. Let's stay in faith. Let's ask the Lord. And so some months went by. And then we got another wonderful phone call. And she said, Pastor, we're expecting. We got a baby. We got a baby coming. So we were just rejoicing. And this time she made it a little further, maybe 7 or 8 weeks, and then she lost that baby. And we just wept and cried. I remember going over to their house, and all you can do is weep in that situation. Again, all of the feelings of insecurity, all of the feelings of loneliness, all of those feelings of, am I being punished for the sins of my forefathers, the sins of my mom? Will I ever be able to experience this dream? Does my life have to be a nightmare? And we just wept and cried and prayed with her and said, Jamie, please stay in faith. God wants to bless you. We can't understand the journey. We don't understand the valley. We don't understand all of the reasons why, but let's stay in faith. And so we prayed, and the months went on, and the months went by, and then we got another phone call, and she said she was expecting, a lot more trepidatious this time. She said, I don't know if I can do this again. I don't know if I can go through this again. What if I lose this baby like I did the other ones? And so we just begin to fast. We begin to pray. And she went to 7 weeks and then went to 12 weeks. And we kept praying her right on through until she got to full term. And listen to this powerful testimony. After losing two babies, Jamie had twins. And God released incredible blessing to her. And so out of the pain of having two babies in heaven waiting for her, God gives her double portion. Chase and Zaya are all over our church everywhere. And they've actually had 4 children. Now, the blessing of the Lord. Now, I want you to say this out loud. Say broken but healed. Say that, broken but healed. And so I just give you Jamie's testimony with her permission and with her husband's permission. But so many times we feel like that we can't experience that. I'm here to prophesy to you today. I'm here to declare to you today by the authority of the word of God that God wants to heal. I don't know your pain. I don't know your brokenness. But with a little bit of oil, God wants to release healing into your house. And you can receive the blessing of the Lord. You might have grown up in incredible, indescribable pain. You might have gone through that pain of abuse or that pain of separation, that pain of abandonment, but God loves you, hasn't forgotten you. I may not be able to understand all of the reasons why. We may never understand the reasons why, but I do know this. Your father, your daddy, your Abba in heaven loves you and wants to heal you and give you the dreams, wants you to come out of captivity and wants you to experience the blessing of being in a home where Christ is the center. Can you say amen? Say this out loud. Broken but healed. Broken but healed. Say that out loud. Now touch your neighbor and say, God wants to bless your house. God wants to bless your house. And so we go back to the text in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. We realize that we've been oppressed, but God wants to break us out of that oppression. Number one, we're broken but healed. Number two, we're built to last. Look what the text says. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good. Say this out loud. Say, he did some good. So everywhere he went, he just did some good things, and he healed all. Would you please say all? Would you please say that? And so listen to what we do as believers. I think this is just part of the human condition. Sometimes we struggle with the fact that God wants to heal us. We hear a testimony of somebody else. And oftentimes we know this. We'll say something like, I know God can heal, but I'm not sure if he wants to heal. And this is a battle of the mind where you've got to take captive every thought and make it obedience to Christ and say, you know what? God wants to heal all, and I'm part of the all, and God loves me, and he wants to release his healing to me. Jesus healed all, every single person. There isn't any account in the scripture where Jesus did not heal somebody. He healed all. Now he may do it in a different way and a different timing than you think, but his heart and his desire. So I'm here to tell you today, God wants to bless your house. God wants to bless your life. His healing. He wants to heal you, and he wants to build something in your life and in your family that will last. Doing good and healing all. And I was thinking about this and meditating on this. You know, God wants to build your church. He wants to build your families, and he wants to build something that will last. When you think about this, Jesus was a builder. He was a carpenter. And now the Bible says that he's working on something in heaven for you. He's working on a home. He's working on a mansion. He's working on a place for you. I don't think that's by accident that Jesus was a carpenter and he's working on some things. And he's building your life. And he's building your family. He's building some things that will last. If you feel broken today, God's saying he wants to heal you. But you've got to understand that he wants to build something in your life. And so he wants you to be able to go around doing good. And he wants you to receive the healing of the Lord. And so here's how it works. When you're healed, then you turn around and you can heal somebody. When you've been delivered, you turn around and you bring deliverance to somebody. When God sets you free, you turn around and God allows you to help set some other people free. And so he wants to build something in your life and in your family. Can you say amen? Let's just say this as a prayer. If you're comfortable with it, just slip a hand right up to heaven right now. Lift your hands toward heaven and just say this. Say, Jesus, heal me. And now say this. Say, Jesus, build something in me. Yeah, Jesus, build something. And he wants to build something that will last. Now, I want you to know God is a good builder. And so let's go back to Psalms. And so we saw Psalm 126. Now let's look at Psalm 127 as a picture. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. And so we talked about this the other night. You want God to build your house. You want it to be built for the glory of God, not the glory of man. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. What a beautiful picture of building homes, of building families. And so I'm here to tell you today, God is a good builder. He knows what he's doing and he knows what he's working on in your life. He was a carpenter and he builds homes. He builds houses. The Lord builds good things. And listen, he builds it for eternity. And isn't that your heart? I know that's your heart and that's your cry, that you want God to build some things in your life that will last for eternity. They won't just wither away and die, but they will last for eternity. The older I get, the more I ask myself, is what I'm doing for my children, for my family, for my church, is it going to last forever? And only you can answer that question. Only I can answer that question. But we want to build some things for eternity. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. But God is a good builder. And so he wants to build some things that will last in your life. Let me illustrate to you by sharing with you what we did last year. Last year, I love the fact that you're so mission-minded. You got teams going out all over the place. And so that's our heartbeat. That's our DNA at our church as well. And so what we did last year is we went to the Dominican Republic, and we took a family that was living in a shack. And this is so beautiful. I'm sure this church has, you guys have done similar things to this. But we took a family that was living in a shack, and we financed the building of a home for them. And the way we did it is we sent our youth, who also raised all of their own support and paid their own way, and they spent a week down there building that house. So the church built or financed the home. We sent our young people who raised their own support, took their summer vacation, served the Lord, worked, built the home with their own hands. We shot them like arrows into the DR, and they built the home and took a family out of a shack and built a home for them. And it was wonderful. Not only did we build the house in just a matter of a few days, a concrete foundation with solid walls and a corrugated tin roof. But then it was so exciting. We furnished their home. And what a joy to go get beds and to get furniture. And what a joy to get them a kitchen and a propane stove and to lay out a kitchen table and to set up all of the new dishes for them and have the whole home set up. And then bring the Sota family into that place and to watch them as they walk through and saw the bedrooms, the two bedrooms for their kids and for the mom and dad, and to see the kitchen table and to see the kitchen all set up for them. What a beautiful thing. A beautiful picture of building something for someone in the physical. Well, I'm here to tell you today that God wants to do that for your home and in a spiritual way. That he's building something that will last. And it's precious. So here was a family that literally came out of captivity. Can you imagine? Can you imagine living on the streets, living in a shack, barely existing? But yet God comes with loving care and compassion, reaches down into the messiness of that situation, takes a family out of poverty, and gives them a home to live in. What a beautiful picture. But that's what he does for you spiritually. He reaches way down into the depth and the pain of your life and into the abuse and the brokenness. He heals you, but he begins to build something, and it's going to be something that will last. He reaches down into the pit of despair, picks you up, and gives you a home that is blessed, that's living in the presence of God, living in the glory of God, living in a Christ-like way. That's a house that is built to last, a house that's blessed. Can you say amen?
So say this out loud. Say broken but healed. Say this, built to last. Now pinch your neighbor and say, a house that's blessed. Pinch him. Say a house that is blessed. And I want you to go back to the text. Look at Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 again. And God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed, katadunisteo, under the power of the devil, because God was with him. He healed those who were smothered. Now watch this. How did he do it? The first part of the verse says that God anointed. Everyone say anointed. And so Hebrew word, Mashiach. And the etymology of the word anointed comes from the Hebrew Mashiach. And it literally means to smear with oil, to cover with oil. If you study it out, here's a good picture for you. In ancient times, they would take a flask that would be made out of leather, and that would be a container of water. And they would smear that leather flask with oil so that it wouldn't crack and it wouldn't leak. What a beautiful picture of your life, that God wants to cover your life with oil so that you won't crack, so that you won't leak, so that you can hold and contain the precious water of the Holy Spirit. And so all through the Old Testament, you see that people were anointed. Kings were anointed. Prophets were anointed. So that by the time we get to the New Testament, the Bible says that Jesus was the anointed one. He was the Mashiach. He was covered with the Spirit of Yahweh. He was covered with the Spirit of God. He was the anointed one. So God anointed him. He smothered him. He covered him with oil. And so the word anointing always is indicative of God's favor. The word anointing is always indicative of God's presence. And so we saw the picture of a house that didn't have anything in it. But the Bible says that widow had just a little bit of oil. You might be here today saying, you know what? I'm a first generation believer. I heard these messages and I feel a little intimidated because he's saying all these things about having a godly Christian home. And I don't even know how to begin. Hear the word of the Lord. All you need is a little bit of oil, because when you're covered with oil, when you're smeared with oil, you might be broken, but you'll be healed. You might feel like you're broken, but God is building something that will last in your life. And then you'll realize this, that you will be blessed and prosperous. Why? Not because of anything you did in the natural, but because you're covered and smeared with oil, which is indicative of God's presence, God's favor, God's blessing. And so wherever Jesus went, he had the Holy Spirit. Watch this. The Bible says God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. Say power. Greek word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. And so the word dynamite is explosive power. So God anoints Jesus, covers him with his presence, covers him with oil, and releases the dynamite of the Holy Spirit so that wherever he goes, he can break the back of the devil, bring people out of that smothering, oppressive situation, lift them up out of the depths of despair so that they can live out of captivity and into the freedom of everything that God has for them. Oh, hallelujah be to God. Please say this out loud. Say a house that's blessed. Say, don't you long and want? Don't you want a house that is blessed? And so I'm here to tell you today, God wants to anoint you. God wants to put a little bit of oil on you for your marriage, for your children, for your family, for your extended family. He wants to just put a little bit of oil. All you need is a little bit of oil to get started. In other words, the natural that you have may not be that great. The natural that you might have may be broken, but God wants to put the super on the natural so that you become supernatural. You're anointed with God, you're anointed by God, and you have the favor of the Lord wherever you go. Can you say amen today? And so if we looked at Psalm 126 and we looked at Psalm 127, we really ought to look at Psalm 128. And so we want to mirror this with the scripture in Psalm. And so what a beautiful picture In Psalm 126, of being broken but healed. Psalm 127, of God building the house and building something that will last. And so now Psalm 128 is a good picture of being blessed and prosperous. And so the Bible says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. And may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Can you say amen? And so I've shared with you about Jamie. I've shared with you about the Sota family, who God lifted up and gave them a home. Let me share with you about my own life. Because you see, my mom was born into a single parent home. In fact, her dad left her before she was born. And so my grandmother struggled. In fact, it was such a struggle in just the aftermath of the Great Depression that my mom was sometimes put in different homes to help raise her. And so she never had a dad for one day, very, very immoral person. And so she grew up in that situation. And so her family, a lot of smoking, a lot of drinking. And yet God put something in her heart, a longing. And so one day she found herself in the street, at the church down the street. And she ended up giving her heart to the Lord when she was just in junior high. And she would, on a Saturday night, there was all kinds of smoking and drinking and carrying on in her house. And she would go to bed on Saturday night, the only believer in her house, a first generation believer, and ask the Lord, "Lord, would you please wake me up so that I can walk to church?" And she would wake up and then she would go to church. And so here's my mom, never had a dad for one day, broken and raised in this kind of situation. In fact, we found out years later that my grandmother had two abortions before my mom. And so my mom was a living miracle. For whatever reason, by the grace of God, God allowed my mom to be born. And so she's the only, the first believer in her family. She goes on to college, feels the call to ministry, ends up marrying my dad. They go to the mission field to Africa, sight unseen, ready to serve the Lord. So my mom, who grows up in this situation, God heals her, touches her heart. Now watch this. She has children, and every one of her kids, the three of us, love the Lord, and her grandchildren. What has happened in that situation? God took a broken situation, healed somebody, but now is blessing her children and her grandchildren. And I'll say this about my parents. They may not have that much in the physical or in the material, but they have a home that is blessed, and their children love the Lord. And wouldn't you want that? Wouldn't you want that more than anything? My prayer and my heart and my cry is, you know what, Lord, I just want my kids to love you, to serve you, to know you, to have eternal life. I just want my grandchildren. I want that more than anything. And so my mom is blessed and prosperous. Why? Because he found a little girl and reached up and took her and healed her and put her into a place where she could have generational blessing released in her home. Can you say amen? And so I'm here to declare to you today, it doesn't matter where you came from. God's got a great plan. We gave you a few things that we shared over the last couple of days. May God help us to grow and give us the grace to grow. But I'm here to tell you today, all you need is a little bit of oil. All you need is just a little bit of oil. It doesn't matter where you came from. Hear the word of the Lord today. It doesn't matter what your ancestors did. It doesn't matter even what your parents did or didn't do. God has an incredible plan for your life, wants to touch you, heal you, and bless your family. You too will be blessed. Can you say amen? So just like Jamie, who felt like, oh, I don't have much, all you need is a little bit of oil. And God wants to heal you. God wants to build something that will last. God wants to bless you. God wants you to be prosperous spiritually. He wants to bless you in every possible way. Can you say amen today? Would you please say this? Say a house that's blessed. Say it. Say it, a house that's blessed. Now let me bring this home, because remember that picture of a house that had nothing. In fact, it was oppressed. It was crushing. But the Bible said all she had was a little bit of oil. Say that out loud. All I need is some oil. Say it. Come on, say that. Say all I need is a little bit of oil. That's all you need. Hallelujah. And so let me give you the text, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. And you just need a little bit of oil today, a house that's blessed. Now, in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27, the Bible says this, that in that day, their burden will be lifted from your shoulders. Oh, hallelujah. Their yoke from your neck. Watch this. The yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. Now, I don't know about Hong Kong, but in the U.S., that wouldn't really be a compliment. But you got to understand a little bit. Remember I said there's no translation that's perfect? If that's healthy, it's good to read different translations, because the translators might have a little bit of a different angle. But if we draw up this picture here, you'll see what he's talking about here, that when you have oxen that have a yoke, the translators for the NIV chose this, that you will become so fat. The yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. So if you have a yoke where there's oxen, now imagine that oxen growing and getting so fat that the yoke breaks off of them. So I'm here to tell you today that God wants to bless you, wants you to be so prosperous, you're going to be fat. Hallelujah. Are you going to come back to church next week after I said that? But what's he talking about? He's talking about the yoke growing right out of the yoke. Let's look at some other translations that will help you. The Complete Jewish Bible says it this way: the yoke will be destroyed by your prosperity. Ooh, I think some of you like that one just a little bit better. You said, yeah, I want my yoke to be broken because of the prosperity. The New English Translation says it this way: the yoke will be taken off because your neck will be too large. So you're feeling the yoke or the oppression of different things in your life. God's saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to build you. You're going to grow. You're going to be blessed so that the yoke is going to be broken. The contemporary English version says it this way: all will go well with you, and your burden will be lifted. The New International Reader's Version says it this way: they will be broken because you have become so strong. So I'm here to declare to you today, God's going to give you such dynamite, such dunamis, such anointing, that you'll become so strong in the spirit that the yoke will be broken. The King James Version says it this way: and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Someone say the anointing, the anointing. And the New King James Version says it this way: and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. And so I'm here to tell you today, you may not have that much in your house, or might feel like you're just starting, but all you need is just a little bit of oil. And so we see the picture of oxen, but much more tragic than that, and probably the greatest evil on the face of the earth that has ever existed is slavery, is human trafficking. And my heart and my desire is I want to be an abolitionist, where I want to help set people free. So could you draw this up on your video screen? The probably the greatest evil would be that of slavery, where you would feel the yoke. And maybe we have some of these images coming up on the screen where we have people that have been literally under human bondage. So could you draw that up on your video screen? Probably the most evil that has ever taken place on the face of the earth is human slavery. And that's what was happening with the Israelites. And that's what Elisha was describing of the woman being under financial burden, that there's that kind of slavery. Now, God is saying today that it's the anointing that's going to break the yoke. I don't know what your yoke is. I don't know if it's a family situation. I don't know if it's relational. I don't know if it's financial. But I do know this: all you need is a little bit of oil in your house, and that oil is going to smash and break the yoke. God is going to release his power to you. You're going to become so strong that the yoke will break off of you. Can you say amen? And so to illustrate this, let me tell you about a man in the United States, and his name was George Washington Carver. I love this story. George Washington Carver was born in the 1860s as a slave, born into slavery, born into captivity. You can draw that into your context because maybe you were born into some sort of captivity. And so he was born in the 1860s as a slave. In fact, at one place right before emancipation, he actually tried to escape, but he was kidnapped and then retrieved and traded back for a broken down horse. So can you imagine that your life wouldn't be worth anything but a broken down horse? He was traded for a broken down horse. When emancipation came, George Washington Carver worked and he ended up paying for his own education. He ended up teaching at Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. Now, George Washington Carver, I love his story. If you ever get a chance, pick it up. Read about George Washington Carver. The man was amazing. And the thing that George Washington Carver, he gave to the world is he understood that all you need is just a little bit of oil. All you need is a little bit of something. And out of that something, whatever you have, God can take what you have and he can do something with it. And so let me tell you about George Washington Carver. He actually discovered 118 products from the sweet potato. So he may not have had much. He was born into slavery, but he thought, you know what? If all I have is a sweet potato, what can I do with that sweet potato? Well, I can make 118 products out of the sweet potato. What are some of the things that he made out of a sweet potato? Well, flour. You can make flour out of a sweet potato. He made vinegar. He made molasses. He even made candy caramel out of sweet potatoes. So you may not have much, but all you need today is a sweet potato. He's famous for discovering 285 useful products from the peanut. One peanut. So born into slavery, free, says he doesn't have much, but give me a sweet potato. And I'll make something out of it. Give me a peanut. 285 useful products from the peanut. Do you know that you can make milk out of peanuts? He made milk. He made butter. He made cheese. He made candies. He made instant coffee from a peanut. So all you need is a peanut today. And you can make some coffee out of that. He made sauces. He made shaving oil, wood stains, dyes, linoleum, soap, shampoo. He even made printing ink and axle grease from peanut. Look, all you need today is a peanut. And you can survive. And he is often credited, for those of us that are from the United States, with inventing our modern use of peanut butter. Oh, hallelujah. 285 uses. And listen carefully. You know what comes out of peanuts? Oil. He made oil from peanuts. Another thing about George Washington Carver, you'll like this. He was an accomplished painter. And he made paint from clay. Listen to this. He even made paint from cow and horse manure. Now that's a strong picture. Because you may feel like today, all I have around me is a mess. But I'm here to tell you today, God can paint a beautiful picture out of your mess. George Washington Carver, all he needed was a peanut. All this woman needed was a little bit of oil in her house. Can you say amen? Now, you're going to like this. Listen to George Washington Carver. Here's a quote from him. He said this, "When you do the common things of life in an uncommon way, you will command the attention of the world." When you do the uncommon or the common things of life in an uncommon way, you'll command the attention of the world. Listen, all you need is a little bit of oil. Just do the little things that God wants you to do. And you watch how he builds your house and blesses you. God wants to heal you. Take that which is broken. Heal you. Wants to bless you. Wants to build something that will last. Wants you to be blessed and prosperous. All you need is a little bit of oil. Can you say amen today? God wants to bless your house. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet today. Let's stand to our feet. And so what we're going to do today, this is what I felt led in my spirit. We've got about 15 minutes here. I said this last night, but if God created the world in 6 days, he can heal your and touch your life in just a few minutes. Say amen if you believe that. Say amen. Amen. And so what we're going to do is we just want to respond to this word. And over the weekend, and you may not have been here, but that's okay. I know it's your cry in your heart to say, God wants to bless my home and my house. All you need is a little bit of oil. And so symbolically today, and I don't know what your church background is. I don't know what your paradigm is, but it's very, very scriptural to take the Mashiach, the oil, and to be covered and touched with oil and to see the favor of God come on our lives. And so if you would allow me the privilege, I know many of you don't know me, but if you'll trust your pastor and trust your leadership, and if you would answer this call, say, you know what, I want my house to be blessed. I don't know your journey, but God does. And all we're going to do very simply is if you long for this, for your children, for your wife, for your husband, for your family, and you long to have a house that is blessed, where the glory of God, His presence is in your home, if you long for that, it's just going to be very simple. We're going to invite you. It would be my honor, my privilege. We're going to invite you to come to the front, and I'm just going to take some oil and just put it right on your forehead. Very simple prayer, and say, God bless their home. All you need is a little oil. All George Washington Carver needed was a sweet potato, was a peanut. All you need is a little bit of oil. But when it's God's oil, you wait and see what God will happen. And so you can leave here out of faith saying, you know what? The Spirit of God is going to touch me. And I feel that. I sense that. I know the oil is coming on me. And I just need that. You can walk out of here today saying, Lord, I just need the Mashiach. I just need the Messiah. I just need the anointing oil to heal my heart, to heal my life, and to bless my family. Can you say amen, church? Would you just lift your hands toward heaven? Just be like a little kid reaching up to their father. Hallelujah. And I want you to say this prayer today. Say, Jesus, I'm not perfect, but I come to you the perfect one. I ask you to heal my life, and I ask you to bless my home. I ask you for the anointing today. I ask you for a little bit of oil to help me. Holy Spirit, take the super and add it to my natural so that it becomes supernatural. Thank you, Jesus. Real quick, we got about 10, 15 minutes. If you long for that and want that, just come to the front right now. And we'll line up here. And it'll just be a simple prayer. We won't go into a long thing, but we'll just anoint you with oil. And just pray. God knows. Just pray. Some of you need some really deep inner healing. Some of you need that for your extended family. Some of you, God is, you've been on a journey and God's been doing wonderful things, but you just need a little bit of oil to take you to the next level. And so we're just going to ask the Lord to do that. You can keep coming. We got a lot of room. You can just pack in here, and I'm just going to come right by very simply. I'm not going to pray a long prayer. I'm just going to touch you with oil. And when I touch you with oil, realize it's Jesus touching you today. And you say, when just let me be the hands and feet of Christ. Let me be His vessel. Let me be the representative. But in your mind and in your heart and in your prayer, you're simply saying, Lord, when that guy comes by and he touches me, Lord, I'm believing that you're touching me. That Jesus the Mashiach, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus walked by you today? Wouldn't it be great if Jesus just came and you felt the hand of the Lord simply touching your forehead and Jesus saying, my daughter, my son, let me just put a little oil on you. All you need is a little bit of oil in your house to break the smothering oppression. All you need is a little bit of oil to heal your heart and to heal your life. All you need is a little bit of oil so that you can be blessed and prosperous and have a family that's built up strong with Christ at the center of it. Amen, church. And so I invite you, would you just close your eyes and maybe just throw your hands up in the air. Yeah. And just say, Jesus. Say, Jesus, you're the Messiah. Come and anoint me now. Come, Holy Spirit. And so let's begin to worship the Lord. And I'm just going to come by and simply just pray for you. Holy Spirit, as we worship you now, we ask you to come and put your finger on us. Put your hand, the finger of God, the hand of the Lord, the Messiah. Jesus, walk among us right now. Jesus, you're the Mashiach. Come and put your oil on us today. We ask for that in Jesus' name.
For you are good to me. Deeper still as you call. still as you call, deeper still into love, 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 you're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Let's continue to keep our eyes closed and just continue to pray. You know, when Pastor Eric was speaking and he was talking about a little bit of oil, I was just, in my heart, my spirit, I was really drawn to Moses. And if you remember when God called Moses and Moses was freaking out, and remember God just said something. He says, "What's in your hand? What's that in your hand?" In other words, everything that he needed, he already had. And what Moses had to do is just take that staff that was in his hand and just give it to the Lord. Just throw it at his feet. And it turned into a mighty instrument of war. Each of you, you have something. You have something to lay down before the Lord. It's your gifts, your talents. It's your time. It could be your finances. And in partnership with the Spirit, when that thing that you have, when it touches that oil, man, just watch out. And I so appreciated his messages over the weekend. You know, we didn't really talk about what to speak. I just shared this is our theme. And it's interesting, last time I spoke, we're talking about God building the family. And that's basically what he's been doing this whole time. So this is what I want us to do. Pastor Eric will be here. We'll still continue to minister to you. The next service is, you know, we have a little bit of time. But if you're a parent, this is really for the families. And so I'm going to dismiss you. I want you to go get your kids and just grab them. They probably don't want to come, but just grab them anyway. And just bring them down here. And we're just going to pray over your whole families, right? And the babies in the back and the moms that are there as well. I want you to come. And we're just going to minister to you. If you want ministry time as well, just stay. And we're going to pray for you. We have some leaders here that will minister to you. But let me just bless us and give us a benediction. And then go and get your kids and bring them down here. And we're just going to anoint and bless all of them. So, Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you for the word. We thank you for, God, just the things that you give us in our hands, God. Lord, they're not much, Lord, but you've given each one of us something. And Lord, and we're willing to lay it down before you, God. And when that thing, Lord, touches the oil, God, something amazing happens. Your anointing flows, God. Lord, but it comes out of that partnership, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord. We seal the word in our heart, God. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just captivate our lives and just continue to draw us closer to Jesus. We thank you. We bless you, God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you want prayer, just stick around here. Parents, go grab your kids. We'll be here for a little bit, and we just pray for your whole family today.